Good evening. It's good to see everybody. I have 3 pages of notes. Isn't that fun? It'll go quick. We're going to continue our thought process of choosing family values as we've been doing this month. And I get to have the fun of speaking on how much fun it is to discipline or chastise or correct your children. It's not really that fun, but it's very rewarding. And if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, you'll see that now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So those who are receiving the punishment, if they do it right, if they receive it correctly, it's very rewarding. It sows peaceable fruits of righteousness. This will be my third time speaking on this topic in this congregation. I don't really know how to take that. I don't know if I need to beat my children more. There's a lot of verses in there about not sparing a rod, right? Maybe my hand's not enough. Maybe I need to go get a stick or a log or a rock. Something else. My poor kids. But in those other 2 instances, I spoke about other things than what I'm going to speak on tonight. I spoke about the timeliness of punishments, doing it immediately so that the child knows that that instance was not good. How the father needs to be very involved as the main disciplinary. Most of the scriptures have to do with fathers bringing on the punishment, the discipline. But at the same time, you don't want to say, wait till your dad gets home. Because the discipline needs to happen right then and there. So there is a balance there. And moms are disciplinarians. So you're not off the hook, moms. The balance of discipline versus mercy, so that we do not provoke our children to wrath, right? So you can take the punishment too far to where now there is this wrathful problem that is inside the child, this attitude that I don't want anything to do with righteousness. I don't want anything to do with being good because it's so bad. The punishment was so bad. So there is a balance there between mercy and discipline. And then being knowledgeable of what our kids and their friends are doing when we aren't looking, right? We need to know those things. So I'm not going to cover those in this lesson, okay? Know that those have already been covered. You've already heard them if you've heard me speak on this topic before. But let's look at Psalm 127. Always one of those things where one time someone said, it's not chapters in Psalms. Those are actual songs. So just say Psalm 127. It stuck with me, so it bothers me. I may look at you funny if you say chapter when you're in the book of Psalms. So anyways, we'll read the whole thing. It's short, so don't worry about that. And this is the base passage for this whole month, okay? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Okay? So, first thing, just look at verse 1. House is not built by God. Families not built by God are actually built in vain. Vain means there is no value. There's no value in that. No spiritual value at all. Okay? Just know that. That's a hard truth. Okay? We have a lot of friends and families that have wonderful people in them, but if they're not building their house, their home on God, or with God, it's all in vain. It's going to fall apart, okay? There is no value. It is worthless. Verse 3, children are a gift from God, okay? Mike spoke about this on a Sunday morning, that God will expect them back. It is a gift. They're on loan to us. Do good by them, okay? Do good by God. Verse 4, children are like arrows to a warrior. An arrow is defined by Webster as a missile shot from a bow. Is this a close-range weapon or a long-range weapon? It's a long-range weapon, okay? So we are to send our children out like weapons, okay? They're not physical weapons. We're not handing them a knife and say, go get them, okay? That's not what we're doing. This is a spiritual warfare that we're in, okay? These children can be used to bring others to Christ. I've seen it, especially in Johnson City where I grew up. Clay Bond had a ton of children, a bunch of them. And through those children, they made friends. Those friends have parents. Those parents started worshiping with us in Johnson City. Okay? Those relationships, those are good. They see that, why are your kids behaving and my kids aren't? Right? The church is full of good children, good weapons. Okay? I always thought it was kind of funny, too, that he says the children of your youth. Okay? Why do you think he doesn't say children in your old age? It's merciful, right? No. It's because I'm not going to look at anyone in particular about age, so I'm looking up. But ask someone that is older than you what kind of energy level they have now compared to when they were your age. Okay? It takes energy. Why? Because like an arrow, we have to aim the children at the target. But arrows have no mind of their own. They are completely controlled by me. But children, they have a mind of their own. God created them with the same free will that He created you with. So it takes a lot of energy to move those children at the right target. All right. So, with that energy, we think about the word discipline, okay? The energy is transferred into discipline. There are two thought processes to discipline, okay? And I'm out of time, and I know that, okay? Teaching and correction. You have to have teaching so they know where they're supposed to go, and then when they don't go that way, you correct it, okay? They both make up the idea of discipline. Key word of discipline, disciple, right? God did not just throw us out into the wilderness and say, figure out how to be good, right? He gave us His law. He gave us His expectations. And when we didn't abide by Him, there were repercussions. Adam and Eve, right? The Israelites with Moses, 40 years of wandering around. Okay, the expectations were given. It wasn't for us to figure out. We knew what we were supposed to do. Okay, so jumping ahead, all right? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training, discipline. If he's not going the right way, beat him back into submission. No, that's not it, okay? But discipline them. Teach them better. Correct them. So how is correcting a child beneficial? Correction is not an act of hatred or evil. Just so you know, kids, we're not doing it because we hate you, all right? Therefore, it must be out of love and goodness. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father, the son in whom He delights. All right? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Okay? It's good. As a whole, it's specifically good for the child. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. So it helps him develop into non-foolishness, into wisdom. Okay, it's good for the child. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, just the first part. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. Okay, so you're getting that foolishness out of your child because they're children. They don't understand wisdom. Okay, we're here to teach them that. It's good for the dad. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. Correct your son and he will give you rest. Dads, you'll get some rest eventually, right? Maybe. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. All right. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. It's also good for mom. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, in the latter part says, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Okay, right before that we had read how the rod and rebuke give wisdom to the child. So if the child is wise, the mother's happy. If the child is unwise, the mother feels shame. Okay, Proverbs chapter 1, which we just read again, that a foolish son is grief for his mother. So the opposite would be true. A non-foolish, a wise child will make the mother feel good. So it's good for everybody. The whole thing. It's all good. All right? Punishment, correction, chastisement, disciplining, whatever you want to call it, is for good. It's all for good. It's good for all parties. It takes energy and time. It is not pleasant at first, but has a great reward when the child reaches adulthood. Let's be involved as parents. Okay, let's do what it takes for our child and for us. Children, you're going to mess up. Okay, it's a given. You're going to mess up. It's not an excuse. It's not that we're giving you permission to mess up, but you're going to mess up. You're going to get in trouble, but it's not acceptable to stay in trouble. Your dads and moms have the responsibility to make sure you know good from evil. They love you so much, even when you think they don't. Okay, speaking to, there's children back there, there's a child over there, I don't know where my other one is, there she is. Did you hear that? Even though they seem to be your enemy, they love you. Okay, this hasn't been an evangelistic type lesson, but we never want to leave this building without offering an invitation for those who may need it. If you have a desire to make sure your name is in the book of life, according to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, we plead that you come forward as we offer an invitation song. And if you know your name has been written there, but perhaps you have forsaken your relationship with God and need to correct those sins in a public manner, you're invited as well. If there's any need, please make it known as we stand and sing.